Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard how it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I say this to you, offer the wicked man no resistance. On the contrary, if anyone hits you on the right cheek, offer him the other as well. If a man takes you to law and would have your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone orders you to go 1 mile, or go 2 miles with him. Give to anyone who asks, and if anyone wishes to borrow, do not turn away." The Gospel of the Lord. To really understand this passage, which today sounds a little strange, this talk about eyes and teeth, as in tit for tat, we must look into its meaning. It is the essence of behavior as it should be. It is one of the earliest code of laws. In the Old Testament, it is quoted 3 times in Exodus, in Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. When considering this seemingly brutal law, then we look at the actual outcome. Here was the beginning of mercy. Previously, it was a whole tribe that plotted revenge on the members of the tribe of the offender. This vengeance meant vengeance to the death of all. In this new law, it was the judge who assessed the crime and punishment, but rarely could it be carried out because of the practical impossibility. For example, how could you possibly find 2 teeth or 2 limbs with identical age and properties and condition? This law was enacted to subdue the fierce hate of one's neighbor. As we see even today, when Christ's message of loving one's neighbor is ignored, how small slight can bring about great revenge. Or, for example, rejection by a woman can lead to rape or murder. Although mercy shown does not mean that just retaliation sought for recompense for debt is unjust, but although this recompense is not sinful, forgiveness brings us nearer to holiness. Our blessed Lord tells us that although the law says that equal retaliation is just, I say you must not retaliate. In other words, the law corrects faults, the gospel removes the occasion. Perfect peace is to refuse all retribution. When Christ was smitten on one cheek, he was ready not only to be hit on the other cheek, but to go to his death for our sakes. The fact that he was spat upon fills us with disgust, and personally, I would have found it difficult not to retaliate in some way, although it would not have done any good to have thrown a right hook. But retaliation has no place in Christian life. Proverbs 29. Do not say, "I will do to him as he has done to me." If we are hit on the right cheek, which is difficult to do if one is safe facing one's opponent and one is right-handed, the message is the same. If a man takes you to law and demands your cloak, that indicates restitution. In Jewish law, the tunic, an undergarment, was not as vital as the cloak, Exodus 22. So Jesus is telling us that we should not stand on our rights. Christianity is ignored when we do so. The Christian considers his duties, not his rights, his responsibilities, not his privileges. When we demand our rights in law for those who rob us of our goods, we must consider why he does so. It could be because he or his loved ones are in great need. We must not begrudge him, because that would be putting our love of material things before that of loving our neighbor. Yet, if he robs just for the sake of gaining more goods for himself and has no lack of goods of his own, then we must fear for his soul, rather than fear for the loss of our material goods. The loss of a cloak could mean that a man's only possession would be forfeited, particularly in the time of Jesus, when it was often used as the only covering to be had at night. Its loss could lead to illness or death. There is a delightful part of Deuteronomy on the subject of lending, Deuteronomy 15:7-11, In it, we read that debts not paid by the seventh year were cancelled. One could understand it if loans were not made in the sixth year, because they would very likely not be paid at all. The rabbis laid down laws as to giving, which are most relevant today in our Christian life. Briefly, that giving must not be refused. A man must be given whatever he lacks, not just for what he has asked for. We must be generous and help him to keep his dignity. Giving must be done out of the limelight for the same reasons. Regarding the predicament of the one who would like to ask but is too embarrassed or shy, we should ask him if he would like to borrow and so save his dignity. For we are giving to Jesus, and who could begrudge that? It shows that not greed but love of our neighbour. We must love all, no matter what the circumstances. We are not expected to love a rogue wishing to borrow with the same love of our spouse or family, but we are to pray for those to whom we lend and wish them well in charity. If we lend as Shylock did, or as some money lenders do to this day, even banks, we are committing usury. We are, as it were, spitting in God's face. No, we must, however, go that extra mile, and if someone wishes to borrow, for he is in great need, we should go that extra mile or two and be generous in our thoughts as well as our giving. Over-generous, in fact. We get our reward, but not necessarily in this life, but in our friendship with God.